Hey everyone, and welcome back for another deep dive with us. You know how much we love to get into the nitty-gritty of all things tech, and today's no exception. But we're tackling a topic that's often overlooked: data storage regulations. I know it doesn't sound as exciting as maybe some of our other deep dives, but stick with us because this stuff is important.
Yeah, it really is.
And to help us navigate this complex landscape, we'll be referencing a blog post by Vishnu Jayan from Solix Technologies. It's titled, Seven Key Compliance Regulations Relating to Data Storage. So before we get lost in the weeds here, let's just take a moment to think about why this even matters.
Okay.
Every time we shop online, every time we visit a doctor, basically any time we interact with the digital world, our data is being stored somewhere. And these regulations are designed to protect that data.
Yeah.
And protect our rights as consumers and users.
That's right.
So whether you're a tech whiz or just someone who likes to stay informed, this deep dive is for you. So buckle up and let's get started.
Sounds good.
All right, let's start our journey in the international realm. And I think a good place to begin is with something most of us have probably encountered without even realizing it. The PCI DSS.
Oh, yeah. If you've ever used a credit or debit card online, you've definitely interacted with PCI DSS.
What exactly is it?
Well, PCI DSS stands for Payment Card Industry Data Security Standard. It was established back in 2004, and it was basically created to combat fraud and data theft.
Okay, so it's all about keeping our card information safe.
Exactly. It's governed by a council that represents major card brands like Visa and MasterCard, and they set the standards that businesses have to meet to protect our card details.
So this isn't just like a suggestion for businesses. This is something they actually have to comply with.
Right, and the level of compliance depends on how many transactions a business processes. So like a small local shop will have different requirements than a huge online retailer, but they all need to have certain security measures in place.
Like what kind of security measures?
Things like encryption, access controls, and regular security assessments. All of these are designed to keep our card details safe from hackers.
Got it. So PCI DSS is like the guardian of our online shopping sprees.
You could say that.
All right, moving on. This blog post also mentions something called ISO/IEC 27001. Now, that sounds a bit more technical, doesn't it?
It does, but it's actually relevant to all kinds of data, not just financial information.
Oh, okay, so tell me more.
Well, ISO/IEC 27001 is a framework for managing information security.
A framework?
Yeah, basically a set of best practices for keeping information safe.
Got it.
And it's developed by the International Organization for Standardization, ISO, and the International Electrotechnical Commission, IEC. So it's a globally recognized standard.
Wow, so this is a pretty big deal then.
It is, and it covers a wide range of areas, like risk assessment, physical security measures, incident management, and a lot more.
Mm.
It's really about taking a holistic approach to information security.
So it's not just about locking down digital files.
Right, it's about building a culture of security within an organization. And companies that achieve certification under this standard, it really demonstrates a commitment to protecting data, which is becoming more and more important in today's world.
Absolutely, especially with all the data breaches we hear about in the news.
Yeah, data breaches are becoming more and more common. And having a strong security posture can really help businesses protect themselves and their customers.
Okay, so we've covered some international standards, but let's shift our focus to the U.S. now. Things get even more interesting when we start looking at specific U.S. regulations. And I think a great place to start is with the CCPA, the California Consumer Privacy Act. It's been making headlines since it was passed back in 2018.
Right.
And it's been called a landmark law for data privacy in the U.S. So tell me, what's all the hype about?
Well, CCPA is all about giving Californians more control over their personal data. And it grants them certain rights that are similar to those in the EU's GDPR.
Like what kind of rights?
Things like the right to know what information a business collects about them, the right to access that information, and the right to have it deleted. CCPA also gives consumers the right to opt out of the sale of their personal data.
Oh, so those do not sell my personal information links we see everywhere are because of CCPA.
Exactly.
That's interesting. So it sounds like CCPA is really putting consumers in the driver's seat when it comes to their data.
It is. And it also has provisions for protecting children's data, which is hugely important in today's digital age. But it's worth noting that CCPA doesn't apply to every single business out there. It has certain applicability thresholds, meaning it only applies to businesses that meet certain criteria.
Like what kind of criteria?
Things like having a certain level of revenue or handling the data of a certain number of California residents.
Okay, so not every mom and pop shop needs to worry about CCPA.
Right. But for those businesses that do fall under CCPA, the consequences for not complying can be pretty serious.
What are we talking about here?
Violations can lead to hefty fines. And perhaps even more importantly, it can damage a company's reputation. Consumers are increasingly concerned about data privacy, and they're more likely to do business with companies that they trust to handle their data responsibly.
That makes sense. So CCPA is really setting a precedent for data privacy in the U.S., and it's actually inspired similar legislation in other states, hasn't it?
It has. We're seeing a wave of data privacy laws popping up across the country, many of them modeled after CCPA.
So California is leading the way when it comes to data protection in the U.S.
They're definitely at the forefront.
Yeah.
And they didn't stop with CCPA. They went a step further and passed the California Privacy Rights Act, CPRA.
Oh, yeah, CPRA. That's like CCPA 2.0, right?
Exactly. It builds on CCPA, addresses some of the concerns that were raised, and strengthens consumer rights even further.
So it's getting even tougher for companies to be careless with our data.
Absolutely. CPRA introduces new definitions, it expands on the types of businesses that are covered, and it grants additional rights to consumers, particularly around sensitive personal information.
Okay, so CPRA is like the CCPA on steroids. Got it.
You could say that. And those significant penalties remain, making compliance a top priority for businesses.
So we've talked about online data and how it's protected, but what about our health information? Especially now that digital health records and telehealth are becoming so common. That's where IP comes in, right? The Health Insurance Portability and Accountability Act.
Yeah, IPA is all about protecting patient privacy in the U.S. healthcare system. It mandates strong safeguards for what's called electronic protected health information, or EPHI. So this basically covers any health information that's stored or transmitted electronically.
So it's not just about locking up those old filing cabinets anymore.
Right. IPA applies to everything from patient records and lab results to billing information and insurance claims. And it requires healthcare providers and their business associates to implement a whole range of security measures to protect that information.
Okay, so give me some examples of what IPA actually requires.
Sure. So IPA mandates things like access controls to make sure only authorized personnel can view patient data.
Makes sense.
And encryption to protect data both in transit and at rest. And they also have to keep EPHI for a specific period of time. And there's also a requirement for audit trails so you can track who's accessing those sensitive records.
So it's not just about protecting the data. It's also about knowing who's looking at it.
Absolutely.
And what happens if a healthcare provider or business associate violates IPA?
Well, the penalties can vary depending on the severity of the violation, but they can range from fines to corrective action plans, and in some cases, even criminal charges.
So IPA has some serious teeth.
It does. Protecting patient privacy is paramount in the healthcare industry.
Okay, last but not least on our tour of U.S. regulations, we have SOX, the Sarbanes-Oxley Act.
You're right.
Now, I know SOX is primarily focused on financial transparency, but I understand it has implications for data storage as well.
Yeah, it does.
Can you explain how?
SOX was enacted in 2002, and its main goal is to prevent fraudulent financial reporting and to hold corporations accountable for their financial practices. So while its primary focus is on financials, it indirectly impacts data storage because it requires accurate and auditable financial records.
Okay, so even if a company isn't dealing with, like, health information or something, they still need to be super careful about how they're storing financial data.
Exactly. And that includes electronic communications, like emails. SOX requires those financial records to be kept for at least 5 years, and they need to be readily accessible for audits.
So that means companies need to have secure systems in place, right?
Definitely. They need systems that are tamper-proof, auditable, and can withstand scrutiny.
And what are the consequences if a company fails to meet SOX requirements?
They can be pretty severe. We're talking about significant fines for the company and even the possibility of jail time for executives.
Wow, so SOX is not messing around.
It's not. It really underscores how important data storage compliance is, no matter what industry you're in.
Right. Okay, so far we've mainly focused on U.S.-centric regulations. But data flows across borders all the time these days. Mm-hmm. What about the EU? I know they've been ahead of the curve on data privacy for quite a while now.
Yeah, they definitely have.
So what are some of the key regulations our listeners should be aware of?
Well, the one that's gotten the most attention in recent years is the General Data Protection Regulation, or GDPR.
GDPR. I've definitely heard that one a lot.
Yeah, it's kind of become a buzzword, but it's more than just hype. GDPR has had a major impact on data privacy globally. It came into effect in 2018, and it sets a high bar for data protection.
So what makes GDPR so significant?
Well, first of all, it has a very broad scope. It applies to any organization that processes the personal data of individuals in the EU, regardless of where that organization is based.
So even if a company is in the US, if they're handling data from EU citizens, they have to comply with GDPR.
That's right.
Wow, that's a pretty wide reach.
It is, and it covers a lot of different aspects of data protection. One of the key principles of GDPR is the idea of data minimization, which means companies should only collect the data they absolutely need for a specific purpose.
Okay, so no more hoarding data just in case they might need it someday.
Exactly. GDPR also gives individuals a number of rights regarding their personal data.
Like what?
Things like the right to access their data, the right to have it corrected if it's inaccurate, and even the right to be forgotten, which means they can ask a company to delete their data entirely.
Those are some pretty powerful rights.
They are. And GDPR also has strict rules about how companies can use and share personal data.
And I bet there are some hefty fines for non-compliance.
You bet. Violations can lead to some pretty serious fines, up to 20 million euros, or 4% of a company's annual global turnover, whichever is higher.
Ooh, that's gotta hurt. So GDPR is definitely not something companies want to take lightly.
Not at all. It's a clear message that the EU is serious about data protection. And it's had a ripple effect around the world. Many countries have looked to GDPR as a model for their own data privacy laws.
It seems like GDPR has really set a new standard for data privacy globally. And the EU hasn't stopped there, have they? They've gone even further with the EU AI Act, the world's first comprehensive AI law.
That's right.
Been generating a lot of buzz. What's the big deal with this AI Act?
Well, the EU AI Act aims to ensure that AI technologies developed and used within the EU are safe, ethical, and respect fundamental rights. It's basically a way to regulate a rapidly evolving field that has the potential to impact our lives in so many ways.
So it's about putting some safeguards in place before AI gets out of control.
In a sense, yeah. The Act classifies AI systems into four risk categories, ranging from unacceptable, which are banned outright, to minimal risk, which face very little regulation. And then in between, there are limited risk and high risk systems.
So what kind of AI systems would be considered high risk?
Those are systems that are used in areas that could have a significant impact on people's lives, like healthcare, criminal justice, and financial systems. For example, an AI system that's used to make decisions about loan applications or parole eligibility would fall into this category.
Okay, that makes sense. We want to make sure that AI is being used responsibly, especially in those areas where it can really affect people's lives.
Exactly.
So what kind of requirements does the EU AI Act place on these high-risk AI systems?
Well, they have to meet pretty strict requirements for transparency, explainability, and human oversight. So basically, companies need to be able to explain how their AI systems work, what data they're using, and how they're making decisions. And there needs to be a human in the loop to make sure that the AI is not making decisions that could harm people.
It's like a checks and balances system for AI.
Yeah, you could think of it that way. The Act also proposes setting up a European AI board to oversee enforcement and ensure compliance.
So they're putting some real weight behind this. And what about the penalties for violating the AI Act? Are we talking slaps on the wrist here or something more serious?
Definitely not slaps on the wrist. Companies that break the AI Act could face fines up to 6% of their global turnover or 30 million euros, whichever is higher.
Wow, so they mean business.
They do. It's a clear signal that ethical and responsible AI development is not optional.
So we've covered a lot of ground here, from PCI DSS to ISO AES 27001, from CCPA and CPRA to HIPAA and SOX, and even the EU's GDPR and their groundbreaking AI Act.
Yeah.
It's a lot to take in, but I think it really highlights the fact that data storage regulations are a global phenomenon now.
Yeah, it's not just one country or one region. Data flows across borders all the time, so these regulations are becoming increasingly interconnected. What happens in one part of the world can have implications everywhere else.
It's like this complex web of regulations.
Exactly, and I think that's only going to continue as data becomes even more important and valuable.
It definitely feels like we're at a turning point when it comes to data privacy and protection. So it's more important than ever to stay informed and engaged. We'll be back after a short break to discuss the implications of all these regulations and how they affect you directly.
It's interesting, isn't it? As we talk about all these regulations, it's clear that they're not just about companies checking boxes or trying to avoid fines.
Yeah, it feels like something bigger is happening. Like there's a growing awareness of just how important and how powerful our data really is.
Absolutely. And that awareness is leading to a demand for more transparency from companies and a push for greater accountability for how data is used and ultimately more control for individuals over their own information.
Yeah, that makes sense. Speaking of individual control, I'm curious how all this plays out in our everyday lives. Like, let's say I'm shopping online. How do these regulations actually affect my experience?
Well, think about those cookie banners that seem to pop up on almost every website now. You know, the ones that ask you to accept or manage cookies?
Oh, yeah, those things. Kind of annoying, honestly.
Yeah, they can be. But those are a direct result of regulations like GDPR and CCPA. They require websites to get your consent before they collect certain types of data about your browsing activity.
Oh, so those pop-ups aren't just there to annoy us, they're actually giving us a say in how our data is used.
Exactly. It's about giving you more control. And those do not sell my personal information links we talked about earlier. That's another example of how these regulations are empowering individuals.
It's kind of like shifting the power dynamic, isn't it? Instead of companies having all the control, consumers are getting more of a voice.
That's a good way to put it. And it's not just about websites and online shopping either. These regulations have implications for everything from healthcare records to financial transactions.
Speaking of healthcare, it seems like iPi is especially important these days with things like digital health records and telehealth becoming so common.
Absolutely. iPi is all about making sure that sensitive patient information is protected no matter what form it's in. Whether it's stored on a server or accessed through an app, the same principles apply.
So even though technology is changing how we access healthcare, the fundamental right to privacy remains just as important as ever.
Right, exactly. That's a crucial point. These regulations provide a framework for making sure that data protection keeps pace with technological advancements.
It's like a constant game of catch-up, but the regulations are there to make sure we don't fall too far behind.
Yeah, I like that analogy. And as we move further into the world of AI, regulations like the EU AI Act are becoming increasingly important.
The EU AI Act is definitely groundbreaking in its scope. It's not just about protecting data anymore. It's about making sure that AI is developed and used ethically and responsibly.
Yeah, think about the potential impact of AI in areas like healthcare, criminal justice, or even financial systems. These are all high-stakes domains where things like algorithmic bias or a lack of transparency could have serious consequences.
That's a good point. We need to make sure that AI is being used for good, not to reinforce existing inequalities or harm people.
Right, exactly. And that's what the EU AI Act is all about, setting standards for transparency, accountability, and human oversight. It's about making sure that AI serves humanity, not the other way around.
It feels like we're entering uncharted territory with AI, and these regulations are helping us navigate the ethical and societal implications.
It's definitely a rapidly evolving landscape, and staying informed is crucial for anyone who's working with or affected by these technologies.
So what can our listeners do to stay ahead of the curve in this constantly changing world of data regulations?
Well, first and foremost, be aware. Pay attention to the regulations that apply to your industry or to your personal data. Don't wait for a problem to arise before you start learning about these issues.
It's like preventative healthcare for your data.
Uh-huh. I like that.
Yeah.
Be proactive, stay informed, and take steps to protect yourself.
Okay, that's good advice. What else?
Second, be vocal. Don't be afraid to engage in conversations about data protection, both online and offline. Support organizations that are advocating for privacy rights, and let your elected officials know that this is an issue that matters to you.
Yeah, it's about using our collective voice to shape the future of data regulation and to make sure that technology serves humanity in a positive way.
Absolutely. And third, be mindful. Think critically about the data you share, both online and offline. Make informed choices about the apps you use, the services you subscribe to, and the information you make public.
It's about taking ownership of our digital footprint, being conscious of the data trail we leave behind.
Exactly. Remember, data is a valuable asset, and protecting it is a shared responsibility. By being informed, engaged, and mindful, we can create a more ethical and equitable data landscape for everyone.
Okay, so we've talked about what individuals can do, but let's shift gears a bit and talk about the challenges and opportunities that these regulations present for businesses.
Yeah, it's definitely a mixed bag. On the one hand, navigating this complex web of regulations can be really daunting for businesses, especially smaller companies that might not have a lot of resources.
Yeah, compliance can be costly and time-consuming, and it can feel like a full-time job just trying to keep up with all the changes.
That's true. But on the other hand, these regulations can also be an opportunity for businesses to build trust with their customers and to demonstrate their commitment to responsible data practices.
It's like turning a potential burden into a competitive advantage.
Right. Consumers are increasingly concerned about data privacy, and they're more likely to do business with companies that they trust to handle their data responsibly. So by taking data protection seriously, businesses can actually strengthen their relationships with their customers.
And let's not forget the broader societal benefits of these regulations. They're helping to shape a more ethical and equitable data landscape, where individuals have more control over their information, and technology is used in a way that benefits everyone.
Absolutely. It's not just about compliance. It's about creating a better future for everyone.
Well said. So as we wrap up this part of our deep dive, I think it's important to step back and consider the big picture here. We've explored the specifics of various laws and regulations, but what do they really tell us about the evolving relationship between technology, data, and society?
That's a great question. It seems like we're at a pivotal moment where the power of data is becoming increasingly apparent, and we're grappling with how to harness that power responsibly.
Yeah, these regulations reflect a growing awareness that we need to protect individual privacy, promote transparency, and ensure that technology ultimately serves humanity, not the other way around.
Right. It's like we're writing the rules of the road for the digital age, trying to figure out how to navigate this uncharted territory.
And as technology continues to evolve at an exponential pace, these conversations are only going to become more important. We need to be thoughtful, deliberate, and proactive in shaping the future of data regulation.
Absolutely. It's not just about following the rules. It's about being part of a larger dialogue about the values we want to uphold in a digital world.
And that's a conversation that needs to involve everyone, policymakers, tech leaders, and everyday citizens alike. Because ultimately, the future of data is in our hands. We have the power to shape how it's used, how it's protected, and how it impacts our lives.
So let's use that power wisely. Let's stay informed, stay engaged, and work together to create a more ethical and equitable data landscape for all.
We've covered a lot of ground in this deep dive. From understanding the nuances of international standards like PCI, DSS, and ISO/IEC 27001, to unpacking the implications of U.S. regulations like CCPA, CPRA, CPORBRA, and SOX, and even exploring the global reach of the EU's GDPR and their groundbreaking AI Act. It's clear that data storage regulations are a critical consideration for everyone, but we're not done yet. After a short break, we'll be back to explore some real-world examples of how these regulations are making a difference and to discuss the ongoing challenges and opportunities in this evolving landscape. All right, welcome back to our deep dive into the world of data storage regulations. We've been through a lot, haven't we? From international standards to those specific laws here in the U.S. and over in the EU. But I think now's a good time to step back from all the legal stuff, the acronyms, all that, and think about the human side of things.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, at the end of the day, these regulations are not just about legalese and technicalities. They're about people.
Right.
It's about protecting people's rights, their dignity, in a digital world that's becoming more and more pervasive.
Yeah, it's about making sure that we're in control of technology, that it serves us, not the other way around.
Exactly. And that's only becoming more crucial as we become more and more reliant on technology in every aspect of our lives.
So let's talk about how these regulations are actually making a difference in the real world. What are some concrete examples?
Well, one area where we're seeing a big impact is in data breaches. Regulations like GDPR, they've really strengthened data security requirements and increased the penalties for companies that fail to protect personal information.
So companies are really being held accountable for their data practices now.
They are. And we're also seeing more transparency from companies about how they collect, use, and share data. Privacy policies are becoming a little bit more user-friendly, and individuals are getting more control over their own data.
It feels like the power dynamic is shifting a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, consumers are getting more agency and companies are being held to a higher standard.
And a lot of that is driven by these regulations. They're raising the bar for data protection and forcing companies to really rethink their approach to data privacy.
Well, let's be real. No regulation is perfect. There are always going to be challenges, things that could be improved.
Oh, for sure. And one of the biggest challenges is simply keeping up with the rapid pace of technological change. New technologies are emerging all the time, and regulations often lag behind.
It's like a constant game of catch-up.
It is. And it can be really tough to predict what the next big data challenge will be, let alone how to regulate it.
And I imagine the global nature of data flows adds another layer of complexity.
It does. Data crosses borders so easily, which makes it hard to enforce regulations consistently across different jurisdictions.
Right. It's like a patchwork of laws and regulations, and companies that operate in multiple countries face a really complex compliance landscape.
Absolutely. But despite these challenges, I think the trend is clear. We're moving towards stronger data protection globally, and I think we can expect to see even more regulations in the coming years.
And as those regulations evolve, it's up to all of us to stay informed and engaged in the conversation.
Yeah, we need to be active participants in shaping the future of data regulation, advocating for our rights, and holding companies accountable.
So before we wrap up, I want to touch on something that comes up a lot in these discussions about data regulation, and that's the balance between privacy and innovation.
Ah, yes, that age-old debate. It's a tricky one.
It is, because on the one hand, you have people who argue that strict data regulations, they stifle innovation and hinder technological progress. They worry that too much red tape will slow down the development of new products and services.
Right, right. They argue that we need to give companies the freedom to experiment and to push the boundaries without being bogged down by regulations.
But on the other hand, you have people who argue that strong data protection is actually essential for building trust, which in turn fosters innovation.
Right. The idea is that consumers are more likely to embrace new technologies if they feel confident that their data is being protected.
So it's not just about protecting privacy for privacy's sake. It's about creating an environment where people feel safe and secure,
right,
which ultimately allows innovation to flourish.
Exactly. And let's not forget the ethical considerations as well. As technology becomes more powerful, we need to make sure that we're using it responsibly and ethically.
It's not just about what we can do with data, but what we should do.
Absolutely. So finding that right balance between privacy and innovation, it's an ongoing challenge, and there's no easy answer.
It's a conversation that needs to continue.
For sure. And it's a conversation that we all need to be a part of.
Well said. Well, I think that's a great place to wrap up our deep dive into data storage regulations.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a dense topic, but I think it's so important to understand these issues, especially in the digital age we live in.
I agree. And I hope our listeners found this conversation helpful and informative.
Me too. If you want to dive even deeper, I highly recommend checking out the blog post we referenced, 7 Key Compliance Regulations Relating to Data Storage by Vishnu Jayan. It's on the Solix Technologies blog. And of course, keep those questions coming. We love to hear from our listeners.
Absolutely.
All right. That's all for today. Thanks for joining us. And until next time, stay curious, stay informed.
And keep on diving deep.
Bye, everyone.